It's time for overtime.
I think I'm ready for this.
Heck yeah.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
It's in the left center field. That's hit well. That'll split the gap.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Rameen on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Welcome in to a beautiful, for now, Monday edition of Overtime. Might see some storm chances creeping in here in Sioux Falls before too long. But regardless, start to another big week in the sports world. The NBA Finals are certainly taking shape with a 2-0 lead for the visiting New York Knicks on the road. Very impressive stuff. The Spurs have done just about everything wrong. They're not playing their game. Uncharacteristic errors from Victor Wembanyama. They're looking like the younger team, the team that might just be happy to be there. Through two games, game three coming up tonight from MSG. The get-in price is certainly up for debate, right around $10,000 plus to get into MSG tonight in what will be a wild and raucous game number three. Stanley Cup final. It's a 2-1 advantage for Vegas following a double overtime winner on Saturday. That continues to move along. We got finals from the French Open, finals from the South Dakota High School Softball State Tournaments, and so much more. And of course, the destruction of everything we know in the sports world. Breaking news this morning out of the collegiate football world. Brendan Sorsby, the guy that placed thousands of bets on football, on any sporting event, he has been allowed to come back to play this season. As of this morning, no, not a joke. We'll dive into that news item and read and react to what I view as the destruction of integrity as we loop it in with sports and gambling and where we are right now. We talk about and joke about a couple of years ago, NIL. Man, it's the wild, wild west. There's no rules anymore. This is crazy. What we actually have this morning is crazy. We have reached the point where we have gone completely and totally bonkers in the world of college athletics, where we are allowing suspected gamblers, proven gamblers, people that are tied up in the legal system, an opportunity to play, an injunction for Brendan Sorsby at Texas Tech. Will the Red Raiders have him back? That's a big question to me. And we'll wait and see what happens here. But the news this morning is that Brendan Sorsby, the quarterback for the Red Raiders by way of Cincinnati, a guy that has placed a bunch of bets, checked in for gambling addiction, got the help he needed. And I'm not making light of that at all. As much as I'm trying to be hard on the fact that we are allowing gamblers, gambling, to completely and totally permeate the sport at this stage. And for once, it feels easy to agree with the NCAA on something today. We'll dive into the Brendan Sorsby news throughout today's show. Obviously a member of the good, the bad, and the ugly, but of course, a headline we'll get to here in just a moment. On today's show, it's a Monday, so we look back here in just a bit with On This Day in Sports History in about 20 minutes. The good, the bad, the ugly, early in hour number one. To follow that, NBA, NHL talk, massive game three ahead tonight, game four in the Stanley Cup final looming on Tuesday. Hour number two, headlines and highlights, latest news from the National Football League, mini camp storylines for the Packers, for the Bears, for those Minnesota Vikings and Kansas City Chiefs, as they certainly have a lot of dog and pony show going on this week, finding out projected lineups, seeing rookies, additional time, J.J. McCarthy, Kyler Murray, quarterback debate and competition in Minnesota. We'll dive in to all the storylines you need to be aware of for our area teams in hour number two. And then we finish up the show talking about the L.A. Rams with a guy who covers the Rams. A.J. Schulte will join us here around 12:40 this afternoon. Let's get right to it here in the NBA and the finals. Game three tonight from MSG. The president will be there. The watch parties just outside of MSG have been canceled or moved. It's going to be a absolute crazy circus. Go Spurs, by the way. I would love to see this series go a little bit further. Mike Brown, head coach of the New York Knicks, who hold a 2-0 lead in the series. What a delight it's been to coach this team lately.
The good thing about it is, you know, as a head coach, your mind wanders and you worry about a lot of crap. But with this group being a veteran group and being as composed as they are, you know that they're going to be present. And that's the biggest thing. Whether you're on a winning streak or a losing streak, you have to be present. It's about the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. And our guys have really embraced that, which has helped me be at ease a little bit more as a head coach.
Spurs and the Knicks tonight, 7:30 on ABC. You can also check out the game here on ESPN Sioux Falls. Our coverage begins at 6:30 here on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSO. Whoa, on the other side of the basketball, you got the Spurs down 2-0, heading to the road at MSG. They're a 2.5-point dog tonight. Head coach Mitch Johnson talking about his game 3 messaging to his squad.
Margins, right? We got to finish plays. We got to finish games. And that's the stage we're on and level we're at. And so, you know, we've gotten them late in the clock plenty of times, whether you don't finish the possession with the rebound or you foul out the end of possession. We've turned them over or got out in transition and haven't capitalized the level that we have throughout the season. So there's a lot of things in there that we can control and do better. And New York gets a lot of credit. They're a heck of a team and they're playing well, but we feel like there's some things that we can do that we have more control of that have not been up to our standard we can improve upon.
He's not wrong. San Antonio Spurs blew a big lead in game 1. They were very fortunate to be right back in it in game 2 and then literally threw it away. Victor Wembanyama, uncharacteristic mistake, threw it to a teammate that wasn't looking. Brunson picks off the pass and Wemby fouls him. Spurs go down very late and Wemby misses the potential game-winning shot. Now, certainly, the Spurs have been up and down in the series. They're down 2-0 after blowing both game 1 and game 2 at home. They're up against it, but I'm hopeful that they can win one of these games at MSG in the next 2 and push it back to San Antonio for at least a game number 5. Jay Williams on the sentiment. Victor Wembanyama just needs to step up.
I think it's all about his starts. I think this is a scenario where you have to be the aggressor. You have to be the attacker. I think you see, you know, sometimes even with Jaylen Brown too, a lot of great players ease themselves into games at times. And I think that's the wrong mentality to have on a game like tonight. I think tonight, I think you're going to see the Spurs play faster. I think they're going to go with a 4-guard lineup. Think about Fox, Harper, Castle, and Vassell, and then Wemby. And I think you're going to see Wemby. If I'm Mitch Johnson, I'm telling you, yo, I want to see you get 10 shot attempts in the first quarter. I want to see you be aggressive. Put Karl Anthony Towns in position to make fouls. You can only do that by being aggressive. Cat has been tremendous. Sometimes when you get lost in the game, if Wemby is active, Cat can get lost in himself sometimes in the antics of it. You got to get Cat wrapped up in himself. And I think if he doesn't come out, if he's not aggressive early in this game, I think that's a major miss mark. I don't think they win the game if he is not assertive out of the gate.
And it feels like an obvious key, but he's darn right. Jay Williams there this morning on ESPN Radio. Here's Brian Windhorst on Karl Anthony Towns, how impressive he's been.
If you went back 45 days ago and you said to somebody, I'm talking about his father, his fiance, his agent, and said, the Knicks are not going to lose for 45 days, and you were going to see during the finals Cat walking off the court at halftime saying, Victor Wembanyama ain't got flipping nothing for me. Mm-hmm. And all of that being accurate, I don't think they would have believed it. This transformation has not been sudden because he's been working towards this his whole life, but it has been stunning. And he's right. He's kicking Wembanyama's ass in this series. And it is absolutely the difference what's going on right now. And if he can do it for a couple more days, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
There you go. Karl Anthony Towns, a big key, big reason why. Probably the NBA Finals MVP right now. Jalen Brunson would like a word. Knicks lead it 2-0. They are a 2.5-point favorite tonight at home in what will be the most raucous arena we've seen in an NBA Finals in quite some time. Can the Spurs get the job done? Can they win tonight? Can they prolong the series? Do they have a hope that they could still win the series? Here's Mike Wilbon saying, I'm not so sure.
One of the phrases I hate in sports is clean up. So fine, you clean up aisle 8, something spills on aisle 7.
Right.
You're not going to be able to just sort of corral everything. The mistakes they made were mistakes of lacking poise and calm. I don't know that they get that back. Even if they do all these things, they've done an A-plus job on Jalen Brunson for 3 quarters. I can't even ask them to do any better than that.
Right.
But are they going to throw the ball away? Are they going to get the ball to the right person?
We'll see about those San Antonio Spurs tonight visiting the Knicks, 7:30 on ABC. Lastly, before we move off the NBA, the Giannis sweepstakes may not officially be underway just yet, but here's Brian Windhorst with one team in particular to keep an eye out for this offseason.
The message Oklahoma City is sending out is they are not touching that core. You can choose to just not believe them if you want. They say they're running it back. The team to watch here is Miami. Miami would say to what I just said, they go, well, we got Tyler Hero, who is a young player who's been an all-star. We got draft picks, including the 13th pick in this draft. We can give you a lottery pick in this draft. And Giannis, I think, wants to be in Miami. There's more check marks on Miami. Also, I'm not sure Boston's ready to trade Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum have won a championship together. I thought that there was a decent chance we'd be in Boston right now for game three of these finals, and then Tatum gets hurt. I'm not sure Boston's ready to do that.
And we'll wait and see exactly what teams are in, but Miami definitely in that sweepstakes. NHL hockey Stanley Cup Finals Saturday. Rewind back to then. It was Vegas blowing a 4-0 lead. Carolina pushed it to overtime. First overtime, no scoring. Second one, Vegas finds the goal they need in a 5-4 win at home. Game four coming up Tuesday night. Canes and Knights from Vegas. Vegas leading 2-1. 7 o'clock puck drop on ABC. Carolina favored to even up the series, -115 on the puck line. Major League Baseball finals yesterday. White Sox lost to Philly 9-5. Detroit beat Seattle 5-4. Minnesota Twins were down, but they were not out of it in the ninth.
1-0 hit high in the air to deep right field for Bell, and it's gone for a home run. And the Twins aren't dead yet. There's the energy. It's 6-4 at Target Field on home run number 199. In Josh Bell's career.
6-4 at that stage, 6-5 later on in the ninth. It all came down to this.
The pitch swung on, hit in the air, left field. Collins racing back. He's onto the warning track, and he makes the catch. Kisses up against the wall, and the Royals survive.
Royals survive 6-5. They take 3 of 4 against Minnesota. Kansas City improving to the record of 27-39. Minnesota slumping to a mark of 30-37. Here's Twins manager Derek Shelton.
Well, I'm trying to take the positive from it the first. I mean, we're played 17 games in a row. We're down 6-1 in the ninth. And, you know, we bring the winning run to the plate twice. So they continue to battle. They continue to grind. I mean, we just had, you know, unfortunately, one bad inning that kind of got away from us on the pitching side.
And that's Twins manager Derek Shelton. Other notable finals, St. Louis beat Cincinnati 5-3. Cleveland was blanked in Arlington against the Rangers 10-0. Milwaukee, one of the better teams in all of baseball, proving it again yesterday, a 12-4 win in Denver over the Rockies. And San Francisco, extra innings winner over Chicago. The Cubbies losing at home again, 2-1, 34-32, the new record for the Cubs. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Twins are off and an absurdly light slate league-wide for our area teams. Yankees at Guardians face off in Cleveland, 5:40 on Fox Sports 1. Brewers and the A's from West Sacramento, a 9:05 go time. Also on your scorecard, NASCAR race over the weekend was won at Michigan by Denny Hamlin. Next up, the race will be at Pocono. Coverage Sunday, 2 o'clock on Prime Video and HBO Max. And let's talk about those Chicago Bears. What does the potential and solidifying probable move to Hammond, Indiana, tell Chris Canty about those Bears?
It feels like it's a greed play.
Totally.
The NFL, the viability, the revenue that the league is generating is off the charts right now, right? Like none of the other major sports leagues can even compete. Everybody's just trying to get to second place. And so for the Chicago Bears to move that franchise out of the city limits, out of the state, it's not prioritizing creating the best experience for your fans, because Hammond, Indiana is not close. My wife's family lives on the south side of Chicago, and Hammond is 30 minutes from them. So it's just disgusting that greed would take the team out of the state.
And that's Chris Canty. And let me ask you this question. When it comes to support for franchises, if you're familiar with the city of Chicago, there's a lot of North Siders, a lot of West Siders that will pony up and go to Soldier Field on a Sunday, go to Soldier Field on a Thursday night. And maybe they're season ticket holders. And if you were told, hey, you can keep your season tickets, but the stadium is now twice as far away, 2.5 times as far away, or very difficult to get to, we're just going to have to wait and see this thing. But it also harkens in everybody that might be defending. There's not a whole lot of people defending the potential maneuver and move to Hammond, Indiana. But some of them are saying, you know, the Jets and the Giants play in New Jersey. That's no big deal. Here's Michelle Smallman with a rebuttal to that notion.
I hate the business of sports. as someone who lost a franchise altogether in St. Louis with the Rams going back to LA, this is a problem. And I know the Bears are still going to be in the Chicago region, but is this a good thing for fans? Is this a good thing for the brand of the Bears? And I know people always want to point to the Jets and the Giants being over in New Jersey. How many people say that that's a great experience for fans in New York City? How many people say that that reflects what people feel about the culture and the vibe of New York City? It's not there. It's non-existent.
And it doesn't feel like it is for sure. The New York Jets, New York Giants, they share a stadium in New Jersey in the biggest market, second biggest market. That's up for debate in the National Football League. It doesn't feel right because it's not right. Both of those teams should have massive stadiums with tremendous support, walkable venues. That would be ideal, but it's all about the money. It's all about the greed. And when you come down to the nuts and bolts, you can push back and say, well, you know, Chicago politics or the state of Illinois politics, it's out of control. How dare they not pony up some money to keep the Bears? They're not going to invest in us. We're not going to invest in them. That's fine. You can talk about split hairs and hurt feelings all you want, but you can also talk about the billionaire owners that are looking for a cozier, comfier bed than they even need in Chicago. They've got options in the city. They've got options in the suburb. The team owns land on the north side, but it's the tax environment. It needs to be better for me so I can accumulate more billions of dollars and I can accumulate more people coming to the stadium and buying merchandise and buying an extra hot dog and an extra beer at a Bears game. Feels very wrong, if we're being honest, for the Chicago Bears to reside over the border anywhere. You imagine if the Bears moved to Milwaukee? How crazy that would be. Milwaukee is what? 200 times the size of Hammond, Indiana? It's just an absurd notion. I wish the Bears would stay in Chicago, at least stay in the Chicago suburbs, north side, south side, central, west side, anywhere but Hammond, Indiana. And we'll wait and see exactly what happens moving forward, but it does not feel good. And if you feel like it's a sour taste in your mouth, it is because it is not a great feeling for the Chicago Bears as of Friday into right now. That's all from the NFL for right now, and we'll dive into the rest of the scorecard quickly. French Open finals over the weekend. Women's final was won by 8-seed Mira Andreeva, beating Maya Swolenska 6-3, 6-2. Alexander Zverev gets over the hump officially, his first major victory as well, taking down 10-seed Italian Flavio Cavoli 6-1, 4-6, 6-4, 6-7, 6-1. D1 baseball, we've got six tickets punched to the College World Series. Those have been punched by Ole Miss, West Virginia, Troy, Georgia, North Carolina, and Texas. Today, we will see some more progress there. Alabama and St. John's got delayed yesterday due to weather. They'll resume, actually have resumed, as of 11 a.m. Alabama holds a 1-0 lead game-wise in that series. Kansas and Oklahoma will resume at noon. Oklahoma leads 1-0. Again, it's best of three. Game threes, if necessary, respectively, will be 1 o'clock for Alabama, St. John's, 4 o'clock for Kansas, Oklahoma, if necessary. And congratulations in order to our state tournament title winners in the sport of softball. Over the weekend, Double A Jefferson blanked Washington 11-0. Harrisburg won the third place game over Roosevelt. Single A, it was Dakota Valley, your state champions, 9-6 winners over Elk Point Jefferson. West Central was third in a victory over Tri-Valley. And then in B's, it was Castlewood. Top seed finds their way past McCook Central Montrose 9-2. And Gabe O'Vallen won third place over Hanson. Congratulations are certainly in order. Now let's get to the really bad, ugly news of the day and of the weekend. Before we get into the Brendan Sorsby news, bad news from Grand Forks. Tampering violations occurred in the North Dakota football program when assistant coach Travis Stepps recruited a player from another school who had not yet entered the transfer portal. Findings resulted in penalties that included a one-year probation for UND. The committee said that North Dakota Steps head coach Eric Schmidt and the NCAA enforcement staff agreed the violations did occur. A statement released by the committee said that Steps knowingly communicated with the student athlete he previously recruited while in high school. Most of the contact occurred in the fall before the transfer portal window had officially opened. And then let's get to the Wild Wild West, no rules, take them to court, they can't keep up with it, issues we've got going on in college football. This news, so unbelievable, so disheartening, it makes me want to restart my day. Texas Tech star quarterback Brendan Sorsby has been granted a temporary injunction against the NCAA and will be eligible to play for the Red Raiders this fall. That's right. Sorsby had been ruled ineligible by the NCAA earlier this year after he acknowledged gambling on sports, including betting on his own team while at Indiana. Monday's ruling by District Judge Ken Curry in Lubbock County, Texas, restores Sorsby's eligibility, saying that the NCAA cannot prevent him from, quote, practicing, playing, or otherwise participating on Texas Tech's football team for the upcoming season. The ruling also said that Sorsby, quote, demonstrated that he will suffer a probable, imminent, and irreparable injury if this court does not issue this temporary injunction because he will be unable to participate as a member of Texas Tech's football season. The NCAA responded in a statement today saying that Curry's ruling undermines and corrupts the integrity of sports. No doubt about it. The NCAA strongly disagrees with the court's ruling in Sorsby's case and is deeply concerned about the damaging, far-reaching, and broadly destabilizing ramifications of the outcome, which undermines and corrupts the integrity of sports. They go on to say the NCAA is committed to supporting student-athlete mental health, but must continue to aggressively defend against actions that defraud college athletics and threaten competitive integrity, such as betting on one's own sport. Or, this is outside of the statement for clarification, or betting at all. It should be common sense if you are a college athlete. It should be hardwired in. You're welcome to college football. You're welcome to college softball. You're welcome to college hockey. Here, you're a member of the team. Here are the rules. No gambling whatsoever. We will find out about it. And if we do, you're not in college athletics any longer, at least for a full year. We'll review the case. We'll figure it out. But now we have somebody who checked himself into rehab when he was discovered making bets. I'm talking thousands of bets. And then comes back and said, you know, I'd like to play. The NCAA says, no, there's no way you're playing, man. You placed bets on your own football team. You had inside information. You're betting and you're ruining the integrity of the game while at Indiana. Then he moved on to Cincinnati. Now he's at Texas Tech. And a Lubbock judge, which in case you're wondering, Texas Tech is in Lubbock, has granted this temporary injunction between the NCAA and the star quarterback. And now Brendan Sorsby can and will play. To be clear, it appears there's going to be a 2-game suspension to start the year, a little slap on the wrist. But that is appealable. And what also is appealable is the NCAA still has an opportunity to appeal this decision, which they absolutely positively should. You know, we always casted, and they did a lot of wrong things. And they were boneheaded and stubborn and dragged their feet on paying players what they're worth or giving players a seat at the table. The NCAA was the bad guy for a very long time, but right now, you get down to these judge rulings, eligibility rulings, player rights hearings. We're talking about somebody that gambled on the sport, while in the sport, on the team, not playing, but on the team, gambling. Thousands of bets otherwise. Somebody that clearly has a gambling addiction and problem, and I would never make light of that. But the fact that we are talking about letting a player play right after he's checking into rehab for gambling addiction, hopefully got the help he needs, hopefully can stay away from gambling for the rest of his days. I really do hope that. But we're talking about letting that player back into college football immediately this fall. 2-game suspension, little slap on the wrist. This feels so inherently wrong. And for clarification, I'm sure there'll be all sorts of audio to dig up to share with you tomorrow on the show. But Sorsby's attorney, Jeffrey Kessler, said in a statement, it is just a result. It is a just result. Excuse me. Brendan gets to devote himself to his team and the education of athletes on the dangers of gambling addiction. He'll continue his treatment, miss 2 games, and there is no injury to the competitive integrity of the NCAA. It's what we proposed and what the NCAA should have accepted had it been true to its promises to prioritize the welfare of athletes. I think the NCAA is promoting the welfare of athletes by kicking Sorsby and people like Sorsby out. And again, I don't mean to be hard on people and individuals. Everybody makes mistakes, without a doubt. I've made my lion's share of mistakes in my life. But you talk about competitive integrity, protecting people from himself, having rules is pretty darn valuable. And for the NCAA to, quote unquote, lose in court this way, and the attorney to come out and say there is no injury to the competitive integrity of the NCAA, how, as a player that has bet on sports outside of their own sport and has an issue or may have an issue down the road, and you say, okay, I'm going to start betting on my team, or I'm going to bet in the same sport, but I'm not going to bet on my team, and it spirals and it rolls and it rolls and it's rolls, but you figure out the penalty is a 2-game suspension for thousands and thousands of bets and a certified problem, something that Sorsby admitted to, and it's a 2-game suspension. How does this not set a bad example for this to recur over and over and over again? So today's decision, and again, still appealable by both Sorsby, who could maybe not have any games missed this season. He's got two right now, according to this agreement. But it's also appealable by the NCAA, and I hope they do. And I hope they find a way to end this madness, because this feels like a very understated, earth-shattering time and case in the NCAA, particularly in college football, but broader than that, just across sports and the rights of individuals and promises made, promises kept, the ability to maximize your value. But you're breaking the rules. Everybody knows. Nobody wants gambling infused into sports. There's a lot of people out there that would like to be able to place a bet on their phone when watching a game, as is their right, wherever it is legal to do so. But nobody wants the star quarterback, third string quarterback, athletic trainer, administrator, placing bets with inside information. Nobody wants game integrity compromised by players that are on the football field placing bets, or even placing bets on sports that you may have inside information that you don't play at all. Let's just say there's a buddy that you're friends with in college. You're a star football player and you rub elbows with a star basketball player. Oh, Johnny's not feeling well tonight, but he's going to give it a go. Inside information. Where does this all end? It's out of control. Absolutely crazy news we got today. And Scott Van Pelt said it completely right this morning on Twitter as we wrap up a lengthy opening statement here on this Monday edition of Overtime. There really aren't any rules, according to SVP. You just go to court. If it fails, go to court again until a judge says that you're all set. You want a seventh year? Sure. Broke the rules? Nah, it's fine. There aren't any rules. Very well said by SVP. This news, absolutely heartbreaking, gut-wrenching, fill in the blank this morning from the world of college football. Brendan Sorsby eligible to play this fall. Crazy, crazy stuff. When we come back, Monday edition of Overtime continues on this day in sports history, the good, the bad, the ugly. And before we're done in hour number one, the latest from the NHL, the NBA, a massive game three ahead tonight. This is the biggest finals game since when? That and more coming up around the corner on this Monday, June 8th edition of Overtime.
College hoops and NBA basketball, the NFL and Major League Baseball. It's all here on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you, just getting going on a new fresh week of Overtime, Monday, June 8th edition of the program. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We're tuned up for a great Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight. Spurs and the Knicks, 7:30 coverage on ABC, 6:30 coverage right here on ESPN Sioux Falls. On Mondays, we like to look back on the weekend. Also like to look back a little bit deeper than that. How about 1829 is where we start, is when we start our look back on this day in sports history right now.
History repeats itself.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Well, sometimes.
What are they gonna roll it? He caught it? Touchdown! He did what?
In the world of sports, there are moments that are fleeting.
My, oh my!
And so
some that live forever.
Russell looks, throws inside. Oh, my God, he's picked off.
Oh, he broke his ankles.
Snap good, spot down. Walsh's kick is up, and it is no good. He missed it. Are you kidding me?
It's time for Bert to deliver those moments that happened on this day in sports history.
Well, it's a little bit of a stretch to assume that everything is sports related, but we start back in 1829 and certainly laying the foundation for sport moving forward. 1829 on this day, June the 8th, the first ever United Kingdom municipal swimming pool opened outside of London in nearby Liverpool, 1829. Fast forward nearly a century, 1920, the Cincinnati Reds' Ed Rausch fell asleep in center field during a long infield argument between Heinie Groh, who went to wake him, and umpires ended up ejecting Rausch for delay of game snoozing in the outfield. 1933, Athletics first baseman Jimmy Fox hit three consecutive homers as Philly outscored the Yankees 14-10 that day. Four straight homers for Fox after he had homered last time up the previous day. Speaking of the long ball, 1961, the Milwaukee Braves set a record of four consecutive home runs hit by Eddie Matthews, Hank Aaron, Joe Adcock, and Frank Thomas. 1961 on this day. Other news to get to: reshaping, reformation of the NFL. The NFL and AFL announced their merger plans to form one league with two conferences, the NFC and the AFC, starting in 1970. That agreement, that announcement made on this day in 1966. Other news items to get to that went down on this day. 1976, Bobby Orr signed a five-year contract with the Chicago Blackhawks. In 2001, Ray Bourque played the final game of his story-filled NHL career. And lastly here, 2002, British-Canadian Lennox Lewis retained boxing's WBC heavyweight title with an eighth round knockout of American Mike Tyson in Memphis. And lastly, as far as events go, last year, French Open men's tennis, Spanish defending champion Carlos Alcaraz rallied to beat Yannick Sinner of Italy 4-6, 6-7, 6-4, 7-6, 7-6 for his fifth Grand Slam title. Birthdays to get to on this day in sports history: 1939, birthday for one memorable Packer of the past, Herb Adderley, American Pro Football Hall of Fame corner, Super Bowl winner three times over, five-time Pro Bowler, four-time first-team All-Pro, Packer and Cowboy, born in Philadelphia. On this day in 1939, Adderley passed away relatively recently back in 2020. Also today, a birthday for Troy Vincent, former Wisconsin Badger, born in Trenton, New Jersey. Also an executive VP of football operations in the National Football League, five-time Pro Bowl cornerback Troy Vincent, a 1970 birthday. And lastly, today is big number 50 for American tennis player Lindsay Davenport, U.S. Open winner, Wimbledon winner, Australian Open winner, and a Tour Finals victor, Olympic gold winner as well, born in Palos Verdes, California, on this day in 1976. That's on this day in sports history. There are a lot of obvious headlines and storylines and drama over a long weekend that could qualify for the good, the bad, the ugly. Brendan Sorsby's deal is no exception. Let's hit the good, the bad, the ugly now, early on a Monday.
Who's been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side? Whined a bit too much and is now setting a bad example? Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. We start in baseball, where this is good news for just about everybody except for Tigers fans, I'd say, which it still could turn out to be good for them. Tigers ace Tarek Skubal pitched five scoreless innings on Sunday in the two-time Cy Young Award winner's first minor league rehab appearance since undergoing elbow surgery last month. Skubal struck out six, allowed two hits for High A West Michigan in a game against Dayton. 44 of his 54 pitches were strikes, with his fastball reaching 98 miles per hour. Skubal told reporters, velocity was good, execution good. Feel like I threw a ton of strikes. I was in the zone a lot today.
good day. The left-hander had a non-invasive procedure back in early May to remove a loose body from his throwing elbow. Scooble pitched for the Tigers last on April the 29th. Now, why is this good news? Well, it's good news because the biggest name on the trade market is nearing a return to health. And the Detroit Tigers are working on an audition. Whether or not they move him remains to be seen, but there are a lot of teams that are circling a team that has been very disappointing in Detroit and saying, well, how about this for Tarek Skubal? How about that? How about this player? How about this prospect? It's a lot up in the air. Tarek Skubal, a massive name in the trade market. Doesn't mean he will get moved. Price has to be right for Detroit, but working his way back to health as of yesterday. Also, big news over the weekend, Nelly Korda deep into one of the most dominant seasons in recent golf history. Her first U.S. Women's Open title still hung on the rim of the 18th hole at Riviera for one heart-stopping moment. A 2.5-foot putt to win caught the left edge, and it toured half the circumference of the hole while the gallery watched in disbelief. When it finally fell, amid an outburst of gasps and roars, Korda put her hand over her open mouth before she laughed at the absurdity of her sport, the world's top-ranked player saying post-match, it's even sweeter, especially with that ice cream swirl on the last hole. The 27-year-old claimed her fourth major overall with a steady 2-under-69 in the final round just yesterday. Other good news, Roger Federer is back. Is he making a Serena Williams comeback? No, but he's going to be back on the tennis court. He'll play in an exhibition at the U.S. Open this year, returning to the Grand Slam tournament that he is the only player to win five straight times. Days before being enshrined in the International Tennis Hall of Fame, Federer will play in New York on August the 25th. The event will be titled Roger Federer, an icon, returns to New York, and it'll also include Andy Roddick, John McEnroe, and Andre Agassi. It'll be announced on Monday by the United States Tennis Association. Other news to get to, bad news in the world of baseball. Kansas City Royals shortstop Bobby Witt Jr. left Sunday's win over the Twins with what the team described as right knee soreness. Witt left the game in the seventh inning, Witt batting 280 with a .354 on base percentage, and he entered Sunday tied for the major league lead in steals. Bad news, still waiting on injury update there for Bobby Witt Jr. And lastly here, Cubs starter Jameson Taillon will be placed on the IL after exiting yesterday's game against the Giants with a left hamstring strain. In the top of the second inning, the 34-year-old called for the athletic trainer after throwing a ball four to Giants third baseman Matt Chapman. A few moments later, Taillon left and was replaced by right-hander Javier Assad. Taillon will undergo an MRI today to determine the extent of the injury, but will in fact be placed on the injured list. And of course, the ugly is obvious. We'll hear from Josh Pate here on the self-proposed by Pate death rattle of the NCAA. Here's what Josh Pate had to say after this morning's ruling, initial ruling, that Brendan Sorsby is eligible to play this fall for Texas Tech.
The NCAA, that's four letters. That's nothing more. That's not an enforcement body. That's not a governing body. It used to be, and truthfully, I don't ever know that it had the teeth we thought it did. It was just, it barked really loud for a long time. And so schools were scared and got in line and they were complicit. And how foolish do you feel today, by the way, if at any point in your recent history, as a player or a coach or an institution, you self-reported violations or you admitted to violations or you just accepted NCAA sanctions? How foolish must you feel?
That's Josh Pate. You can find him, Josh Pate CFP. Certainly a very respected opinion in all things college football. Yeah, this feels pretty darn bad. It feels wrong. It feels unjust and, frankly, very upsetting today. Brendan Sorsby, the Texas Tech star quarterback, granted a temporary injunction against the NCAA and will be eligible to play for the Red Raiders. It's reported out there he's going to miss two games. That is appealable by Sorsby. And the entire case, the ruling from today, is appealable by the NCAA. Hope they do so in due time. At Indiana, as a scout team and backup quarterback, this is two programs to go for Sorsby. Indiana to Cincinnati, from Cincinnati to Texas Tech. At Indiana, as a scout team and backup quarterback, Sorsby reportedly placed at least 2,900 bets, totaling more than $30,000 from June 22 through December 23. According to the documents, his bets included 40 games involving the Hoosiers, but none on games in which he was involved or had a legitimate chance of playing. According to the documents, the NCAA alleged that Sorsby also placed parlay bets involving Indiana basketball games that included wagers in favor of players on the opposing team. Student athletes are prohibited from betting on any NCAA-sanctioned sport, college, or pro, and face permanent loss of eligibility if found to have wagered on games involving their own team or another team in a different sport at their school. But is that true? That's written in the article as if it's a matter of fact. I'll read it again. Student athletes are prohibited from betting on any NCAA-sanctioned sport, college, or pro, and face permanent loss of eligibility if found to have wagered on games involving their own team or another team in a different sport at their school. The rules are there. The writing is there. But we get a ruling that goes against that. We get a ruling on a young man that self-reported, checked himself into rehab after the NCAA had done an investigation. Thousands and thousands and thousands of bets. Thousands of dollars for Brendan Sorsby. And we're going to say, okay, you're eligible. You know, just be an anti-gambling advocate moving forward. And be an example, a good example of what's right in recovery. And that's admirable, certainly. But this quickly feels wrong. And it certainly does not make you feel warm and fuzzy about the state of college athletics, particularly in college football, college basketball. This has trickled up to the NBA. We've seen it all over. And we can talk about the proximity. That is certainly a concern. No doubt about it. The proximity of gambling, gambling companies and sponsorship. This is the NCAA basketball tournament brought to you by DraftKings, brought to you by wherever you place your bets. Hey, hop on right now, pregame, get a bonus. If you place your first bet here and there, I understand proximity is a big concern, but the integrity of the game should be the most important thing outside of safety of those in the game. Integrity of the game, we all enjoy, we rely on. You know, people are out there, they're trying their best. They're not mailing it in. They don't have some bookie with a baseball bat at their home or somebody coming calling expecting a result because they owe somebody something. We love the integrity of the sport. That's what gives us the confidence and the honest nature of watching a game with an open mind and watching a game on the edge of your seat and not knowing what's going to happen and not having it tainted. And here we are sitting with a very strange, unpredictable opinion today on the Brendan Sorsby case. Frankly, very upsetting stuff, and it's not over yet. We'll see about what the NCAA decides to do, what, if any, power they might have to flip that decision and have Sorsby sit out longer, sit out the rest of his career, or move on to the NFL. We'll see about the young man's options and what is ahead in that very, very tough and earth-shattering case that is currently rocking the sports world, in particular, the world of college football. We will take a break, come back with some NBA NHL talk, including another big accolade for Connor McDavid. He is not hoisting a Stanley Cup, but he's got some more hardware to his name. We'll dive into the NHL, NBA, and more coming up next on this Monday, June 8th edition of Overtime.
The best sporting matchups and coverage. We are ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you. A quick segment here as we round up and say so long to hour number one on a Monday. Still to come in hour number two, latest NFL news. AJ Schulte on the Los Angeles Rams, the super team, Miles Garrett, Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua, Matthew Stafford, Trent McDuffie, so much more on that Rams squad. Who's their biggest competition and other under-the-radar teams in the NFL up for debate with A.J. Schulte before we're done today, right around 12:40. Let's talk hockey quickly here. Connor McDavid, pretty darn good. The Oilers star has won the Ted Lindsay Award as the NHL's most outstanding player, as voted by his peers. The league and Players Association announced the honor yesterday. This is the fifth time McDavid has won the award that ties Wayne Gretzky for the most in league history for the trophy, which used to be named for Lester B. Pearson. Here's what McDavid had to say. This award coming from the guys that you play against every single night and battle against every single night. To have them recognize me with an award like this means so much. McDavid led all scores this past season. 90 assists and 138 points. San Jose's Macklin Celebrini, Tampa Bay's Nikita Kucherov were second and third in voting by members of the NHLPA. And let's talk about how absurd it is that Celebrini, who just wrapped up year number two in the NHL, is already among the best players in the entirety of the league. Speaking of players that are pretty darn good, Austin Matthews doesn't appear to have one foot out the door for the Maple Leafs as the organization shifts into a next chapter. That's what Maple Leafs general manager John Chayka has taken from his interactions with the team captain, despite ongoing rumors of Matthews' dissatisfaction with the team. Maple Leafs missed the playoffs for the first time since Matthews was drafted number one overall back in 2016 and are searching for their fourth head coach in Matthews' 10-year tenure in Toronto. Chayka optimistic about the center's headspace. What I saw was a happy captain, someone who's got a lot of pride in being the captain of the Leafs, someone who wants to win in Toronto, which aligns with how we are thinking about it. Austin Matthews, certainly one big name that could be available as soon as this offseason. Well, the Carolina Hurricanes are down 2-1 in the Stanley Cup final against Vegas. Coach Rod Brind'Amour said he doesn't, quote, anticipate a lot of changes to his lineup after his team fell behind 2-1 in the Stanley Cup final series against Vegas. Does that mean that goalie Frederik Andersen has the crease back after getting pulled in the third period of Carolina's Game 3 loss on Saturday? Rob Brind'Amour saying Sunday, we'll make all decisions after we practice tomorrow, as in today. See how he's feeling. I haven't made any decisions on the lineup, so I can't tell you. I think for both defenses so far in this series, it's been less than ideal. A lot more goals than you anticipate between these two squads. You knew Vegas was a strong defensive team. Carolina can score and score and score. Vegas has been doing a great job keeping up with them, leading the series 2-1. We'll see about net changes there. Freddie Andersen certainly up for debate as to what is best in the net for Carolina moving forward. Game number four line right now. Money line at DraftKings Sportsbook. Carolina, a road favorite, minus 115 on the puck line. Vegas, minus 105. And then as we dive into the general Stanley Cup final odds, Vegas now minus 185. Carolina plus 150. NBA news to get to. Stacey King, a three-time NBA champion with the Bulls, who became an Emmy-winning fan favorite on their broadcast team after his playing career, has passed away at the age of 59. We will miss him deeply and remember the joy, energy, humor, and candor and passion he brought to our organization, our broadcasts, and our fans every day. That is from Bulls owner and chairman Jerry Reinsdorf. In a statement, King, a 6'11" forward and center, averaged 6 points and three rebounds in an eight-season playing career that later included stops with Minnesota, Miami, Boston, and Dallas. Rest in peace to Stacey King. The Atlanta Hawks and head coach Quinn Snyder have agreed to a multi-year contract extension. It marks consecutive extensions by Hawks ownership to Snyder and Ansi Salla to solidify organizational continuity. Salla was promoted to president of basketball ops from general manager back in late May and signed to a long-term extension. Now Quinn Snyder getting the same. Well, the Spurs visit the Knicks tonight in game number three. This series feels like it has already been absurdly long. We're just two games in, Knicks winning both games on the road, and the Spurs are not favored to get the job done tonight, but they're getting a lot of respect from Vegas. 2.5 is the spread. Should be 10, if we're being honest about the way that the Knicks have played, the home field advantage they're going to have tonight. But you feel like Vegas is giving a lot of confidence in a rebounding effort, literally and figuratively there, for the San Antonio Spurs. Just 2.5 the spread right now at DraftKings Sportsbook. Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs are confident. Here's what Wemby had to say. I think the key is acceptance a lot of times, taking a step back, realizing all the journey that's behind this and what's ahead of us. Just being okay with who I am, where I am, what I'm doing. This is everything that I've wished for. There's no reason to overthink it. This is what I'm built for. Hopefully, we can see some money where the mouth is there with Wemby, because to be honest, without being a hot take merchant here, it's been disappointing so far what we've seen from Wemby. You want to see that dude take over a ball game. There's been small moments of, oh my gosh, how do they stop this guy? But it's not been the taking over the series that we anticipated, like we saw in the win over OKC. Last check of those odds, 2.5 is the spread. Spurs and Knicks tonight. Money line favoring the Knicks -130. We will take a break, come back, headlines and highlights, right back into the latest from the Brendan Sorsby case. If you missed it, the quarterback at Texas Tech, the guy that admitted to thousands of bets, some of those bets on his own football team when he was with the Indiana Hoosiers, is eligible after a court decision this morning. We'll dive into that and more headlines and highlights around the corner as we move on through this Monday, June 8th edition of Overtime.